Well, let's pray as we get ready for the Word. Father, thank you for your Word. It is always what we need. I pray, Father, that through this Word tonight, the Holy Spirit would speak into each heart and life. Help us, Lord, to learn, to grow, Lord, to believe, to rise higher in you, Lord, to draw nearer. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 52, we're just going to read verse 7. You know, a lot of the time we read Isaiah 53 and talk about how that it is prophecy of the Lord Jesus. But Isaiah 52 also contains a lot of prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this verse, although we often quote it in talking about anybody that shares the gospel, it was actually given as prophecy of the Lord Jesus, Isaiah 52 and 7, and it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. How beautiful are Jesus' feet." Nobody ever brought good news like Jesus did. The one who came to heal the brokenhearted, the one that came to set the captives free, amen, the one that came and changed everything. How beautiful are the feet of him who came. His feet stepped into the River Jordan to be baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. His feet stood on the mount preaching the good news. His feet walked 1,000 miles helping people, setting people free, healing the oppressed. His feet didn't break a bruised reed, but they kicked over the tables of the money changers. His feet walked dusty streets just like everybody else, but his feet walked on water like nobody else. His feet walked up a hill called Golgotha to pay the price for our sins. How beautiful his feet are. His feet were nailed to a cross for us, and his feet stomped the head of the serpent, our enemy. His feet dealt a crushing blow to Satan and won our victory. His feet descended below the earth, proclaimed victory to the captives, and his feet walked out of the tomb. His feet walked the road to Emmaus with the disciples, and then his feet left the ground one day and ascended to heaven. How beautiful are his feet that bring good news, that bring hope to the hopeless, that bring liberty to those that are bound, healing to the sick, forgiveness for the guilty. Now listen, in a time, a generation, when pride is so celebrated, we need to find a place of humility at the feet of Jesus. Just to say that I think is offensive to some. To come to the feet of Jesus. But at his feet, we find a place of humility. At his feet, we cease from our striving. And we find a place of rest before an almighty God at his feet. You see, when we truly come to the feet of Jesus, we humble ourselves, and there's something that happens when you humble yourself before God. You find grace. He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And I think that in this generation, there's way too much pride and striving on our own and trying to do things in the arm of the flesh with human strength when we need God's help so desperately. And not near often enough do we come to the feet of Jesus in true humility. But we humble ourselves before an almighty God and we find grace. We acknowledge that He is God alone, that He has the power, all the power. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. To be at His feet is a place of worship, to honor Him, to give Him the love and the adoration that He deserves. It is a place of surrender. Surrender to the King of Kings. It's a place of submission where we humble ourselves and are willing to obey Him and call Him Lord and to do what He says. How beautiful are His feet. At His feet, there's forgiveness. One of my favorite stories of the Bible is a story in Luke chapter 7 where Jesus is having dinner at a Pharisee's house, and a woman, the Bible says, who was known to be a sinner, comes to the house, and she comes to the feet of Jesus, and she begins to kiss His feet, to wash His feet with her tears, and she dries them with her hair. And the Pharisee stood back and he thought to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman that she is. And so Jesus begins to ask the Pharisee a question. He tells a story about two men that were forgiven a debt, one a great debt and one a small debt. And he said, who loves the most? And the Pharisee said, I suppose the one that was forgiven the most. And he tells that Pharisee, he says, I came to your house. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't wash my feet. This woman, since the time she came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet, washing my feet with her tears. And then Jesus says, she loved much because she was forgiven much. In the end of the story, Jesus says to her, your sins are forgiven. There's the end of the story. And I'm just telling you that she found forgiveness at the feet of Jesus. This woman who had a reputation, but she comes to Jesus in humility and she expresses her worship, her adoration for Him with tears at His feet. And I think sometimes we need to come to that place. You see, she knew how much she was forgiven. Do we know? Or have we forgotten how much we've been forgiven? I think sometimes we need to come to the feet of Jesus with tears and ask forgiveness. Not take for granted the forgiveness that He so freely gives. A God who is ready to forgive. But we come to Him with godly sorrow and repentance and ask for forgiveness. At His feet, there's healing that's available. Matthew 15 and 30 says, great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. Now, you might think this is a little strange tonight, talking about the feet of Jesus, but I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. And if you look at how people came to Jesus, many, many, many times they come to the feet of Jesus. And I want to remind you again what we're talking about here. We're talking about a place of humility. We're talking about a place of surrender. Talking about a place of submission, talking about a place of faith and trust and utter dependence, where we acknowledge that He is God, an attitude that's lost so much of the time today. But they brought their sick and they laid them at the feet of Jesus, and He healed them. At the feet of Jesus, I'm telling you, hearts are healed, souls are made whole. At His feet, you know, we've been talking about this. We talked about this past Sunday. At His feet, we sit and hear His word as Mary did. Mary sat and heard His word, and Jesus said she chose the good part. I know that God can speak to you while you're watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon. I know God can speak to you while you're driving down the freeway. God can do whatever He pleases. He's God. But I also know this, that almost always when God speaks to people, it is when they give Him their full attention and they are sitting at His feet, as it were, acknowledging that He's God and listening to Him. And when you have an open heart and attentive ear to His voice, that's when we hear His word. That's when we hear Him speak. Oh, how we need that. I'm trying to decide if I want to share my testimony or not, and I guess I am now. I just stepped into it, so here we go. So, after my message on Sunday, Monday morning, I went out and sat on the back porch and was just kind of being quiet. Wasn't really even praying. It was just kind of listening. And I had been having some chest pains off and on for about 5 or 6 weeks. And kind of bullheaded, planning on going to the doctor one of these days. And in fact, Monday I was planning on making an appointment. And I was just kind of sitting there listening. And the Lord said to me, "That's over." I didn't even pray about it. I didn't ask about it. I wasn't really even thinking about it. But I knew exactly what He meant when He said it. He said, "That's over." And I'm just telling you, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him every day, as though our life depends upon it, as though our family depends upon it, as though our work depends upon it. I'm telling you, His feet, at His feet, that's where we pray and we make our request of Him. Mark 5:22-24, "Behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him." Here's a man who comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus. I know Jesus is not walking this earth in a fleshly body, but shouldn't we have the same attitude when we come to Him with our need, that we humble ourselves before Him? I got to tell you, I'm offended by some of the pop theology of the day where people think that they can tell God what to do. He is still God, and I am perfectly comfortable more than that, I am totally at peace to be able to come to him and present my prayer and my request at his feet and know that he loves me and know that he hears me and know that he'll answer my request just as he did Jairus. You know, the end of the story is that the little girl died and then Jesus raised her from the dead. But I'm telling you, at his feet is where burdens are lifted. At his feet are where battles are won. At his feet are where we make our petition known and he answers. I don't think you have to kneel when you pray. I think you can stand. I think you can walk. I think you can lay on your face on the ground. And I think that you can sit in a chair and pray and God can hear you. But I do think that in the attitude of our heart, we ought to be on our knees. And sometimes, you know what, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not talking about being religious and just having a form, but I'm telling you, sometimes what's on the inside needs to show on the outside. And I'm still a fan of some of the time, at least, getting on your knees before God when you pray in an outward expression of the humility that we have on the inside, that we humble ourselves before him. But he answers prayer when we come to him and we make our requests known. It's at his feet where we give him the praise, the thanksgiving that he deserves. Luke chapter 17 tells the story about 10 lepers. In verse 15 and 16 it says, "And one of them, when he saw he was healed, he returned, and with a loud voice glorifying God, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." This guy was so overwhelmed with praise and thanksgiving, he just falls at the feet of Jesus. Is he worthy of that? Oh, yes, he is. I'm telling you, oh, how we need to let the Lord know how much we love him and how much we're grateful for all he's done for us. But too often, I think we are kind of like the nine. Luke chapter 8 tells a story about a demon-possessed man, a man who ran around in the tombs with no clothes on. This guy was absolutely crazy. They'd try to bind him with chains and he would break them. They would hear him crying out in the tombs, so tormented. But one day Jesus showed up and this demon-possessed man comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus. Jesus casts the demons out of the man. And the Bible tells us this. Well, I just need to read that part. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. But I'm just telling you, at his feet, the bound are set free. He can change your life in a moment at his feet. In Revelation chapter 1, it tells us that at his feet is a place for worship. And John saw him. In Revelation 1:17, John's saw him. It says, "I fell at his feet as though dead." We need that kind of fear of the Lord in the church today. That we, listen, that we're not afraid of him, but we have such reverence and awe and respect for him. Too much of this "my buddy Jesus" thing today. You know, in the New Testament, the word for worship, it's actually two words put together that mean kiss toward. But in the Old Testament, the word for worship means to bow down. And I'm not saying you got to bow down to worship God. I'm just saying in our heart, we ought to always be humble and at His feet in worship. We humble ourselves and we acknowledge He's the King of Kings. We acknowledge He's Almighty God. We acknowledge that He is the one that we come to in humility and worship and give Him all the glory. Someday we will see what John saw. Revelation 1, 12 through 17. Heather, you might put this passage up there because I read it ever so often, but I tell you, we need to know that this day is coming. John said, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me." Oh, just let me give you a little frame of reference here if you haven't thought about this yet. You know, in John's gospel, he talks about the beloved disciple, the disciple that Jesus loved, and he's talking about himself. You know, I was the one that rested my head on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. I mean, you know, John would have told you nobody was closer to Jesus than me. But here's how John saw him in heaven. "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as it was refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Oh, when we see him, I believe we'll worship him. I believe we'll worship at his feet. I believe that if we have gained a crown, we will cast it at his feet. How beautiful are his feet to us. You know, the Bible tells us something else about his feet, though. It's 1 Corinthians 15:25. "He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." Every enemy. There is coming a day when Jesus will return to this earth and he will make his enemies his footstool. Make no mistake about it. His feet will crush the head of the serpent. His feet, listen, are our absolute victory over our enemy. And it's not by accident that all these passages talk about being at his feet. I want to say again, it symbolizes our humility, our desperation for his help, our surrender to him, and our thanksgiving and worship. It is where we humble ourselves and we find forgiveness. It's where we find power that's available. It's where we receive healing, where we receive deliverance. It's where we express to him our adoration and our worship at his feet. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way before, but I want to encourage you in your prayer just to humble yourself at his feet. Oh, when you read his word, just to realize you're sitting at his feet, listening to him, allowing him to speak to you. Just to wait in his presence at his feet and allow him to have his way in your heart and to do with you as he desires, to make yourself his servant each and every day. I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to pray. And as we are standing here tonight, I want you to realize we are at his feet. Father, I just thank you that you are so merciful and kind to us. Oh, that in such humility the Lord Jesus came. A servant, obedient to death, to pay the price for us all. And Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to never forget the price that's been paid and all that Jesus has done for us. I pray, Father, that in our hearts, Lord, that we would always be humble before you. And I pray, Father, that in this world, Lord, that we would be an example to others. Oh, Father, that we would not go along with the attitudes of the day, Lord, of disrespect. Oh, Father, I pray that we would have that fear of the Lord and truly live a life every day that honors and glorifies you. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.